have been singing that chorus, "He is all I need," but I think the majority of people don't realize that all he is, that's the all we need. They sell him short, you know. Many people feel they can get by with just so much, but it's going to take, if God poured all of himself into Jesus, he was the fullness of Godhead bodily, and it stands to reason that if he is all we need, then all that he is what we need. Not one bit less, neither take nor add to him. That's why the prophet's message was so stern. You cannot add or take. How could you take or add to God? See, that's the trouble. So we pray, Heavenly Father, again, we just look to you for help at this time, the study of thy word. We pray, Lord, it shall be admonition to us, edification, O God, and exhortation, building us up in holy faith. Keep your hand upon us, Lord, then. We pray that as your hand is upon us, then, Lord, we believe that what we need amongst ourselves tonight can be forthcoming in that very area. So we just know that you've done this in times past, and there is no diminishing of you, Lord, anyway. Your scripture tells that. There's no diminishing, for which we thank you. And there's nothing too great that we might need or have need of but what you can supply. And what we need most, Lord, now is the stabilizing influence of your Spirit in our lives to bring forth the Word of God in our very lives here. So we just commend ourselves unto you, the Word of your grace, and just pray now that you have heard us, the answer will be forthcoming. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight, last service, at least for a while. How long a while, I don't know. Just one never knows, especially one like me. You know, I often say that you can cure blindness in a hurry by cleaning your glasses. I don't seem to have that trouble. When I clean a bit, I find my eyesight's not half as bad as I thought. Might not be 20/20 where it is, but might be, you know, 25 and a half or something. That's a lot better now. The shadows are rolled away. No, the mists have rolled away. That's what it is. I guess they're putting the fingers on them. But now, there are a lot of subject matter I believe we could cover, but tonight I want to bring a message really quite simple. And I suppose it's a message based upon what I've seen and what I run into. Many times my messages are. I run across various things that are around the country, and so I just bring a message on, and hopefully to help the people, not to be hyper or super critical, although that goes without saying, there's a certain amount of the critical in it, but just to be beneficial, hopefully. The message is the meaning of thus saith the Lord, and that's to me. Might not be to you, might not be somebody else, but the meaning to me, as I see it, this is what the message is all about. And we're going to read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22. And it says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded to speak, or that shall speak of the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing fall not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." Now, of course, this book of Deuteronomy is the last of the five books of Moses. And many times you'll find that Deuteronomy explains what is contained in the other books. And so what we're going to do is look back in the other books, particularly Exodus, in order to see what this is all about, which it is that these verses are about a prophet prophesying in the name of the Lord, and it has already been manifested to the people through experience. And that's found in Exodus, the fourth chapter, 21 to 23, and Exodus 7 and 17. So reading Exodus 4, 21 to 23, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." So here's Moses saying, I'm come down here to cause you to let Israel go, Thus saith the Lord, if you don't let them go, then I'll kill your sons. Well, you'd know if that was of God or not if it came to pass. If it didn't come to pass, Moses was not the prophet that God sent. If it did come to pass, Moses was the prophet God sent. 7:17, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in thy hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And there again you see the same thing. Now the people did not understand how this was done, or you might say why it was done. So it's explained in Deuteronomy 18, which I just read. And he lets them know, that is Moses does, that there can and will be prophets like him. And they're very special prophets, and they are to be feared. Now they have a very special ministry of prophecy, and it's to give forth God's revelation of the hour, is to bring the fear of God into the camp, is to make known the mind of God by bringing in the word, is to know what also what God wants from the people, what's incumbent upon them to be his people, and it's the test of whether he is of God, and the test of whether this man is of God or not is by his vindication. Now, his vindication is his indication that he is that special prophet. As we want to notice that, his vindication is his indication. See, that indicates that he is such a person, if he has such a vindication. Now, his vindication positions him before the people so that he is recognized and feared. That's we want to understand that. His vindication positions him so that he is recognized. And therefore, he will be feared because he is indeed the prophet of God who speaks for Almighty God, because it is thus saith the Lord, as though God himself were there. Now, this prophet that Moses speaks of in Deuteronomy 18 is different from another kind of a prophet over in Deuteronomy 13:1-5. If there arise among you a dreamer of dreams, a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, giveth thee a sign or wonder. The sign or wonder come to pass, where he speaketh unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Let us serve them. And thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now here you find a person who has a sign or a wonder. He does not have thus saith the Lord, but he has a sign and a wonder. He may even claim to have thus saith the Lord, but he doesn't have it. He has a sign or a wonder, and the people admit that this is supernatural, and then he begins speaking to them in such a way as to take them away from God or to do things that aren't right, and it says that person should die. Now, we're going to go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 27:12, and read right through into Jeremiah 28:1-17. We're going to see here a picture of the two prophets who claim to have thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 27. I spake also to Zedekiah king of Judah according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence? As the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophet that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy lying to you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy lying my name, that I might drive you out, that you might perish, yea, and the prophets that prophesy unto you. For ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets, that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessel of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again to Babylon, for they prophesy lying to you. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? Now this prophecy from God was something they didn't want to hear. They preferred something else. But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession of the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and of Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the bases, concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not, when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. And it came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of all the priests and all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I'll bring again to this place Shechaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah. They went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I'll break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah, son of the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words that thou prophesied to bring again the vessel of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in thine ears, and the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and pestilence. The prophet which prophesied the peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known. Now see, that's absolutely what Moses said. And here's your perfect picture. What the prophet that prophesied the peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to peace, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. There's always got to be a vindication in order to indicate. And Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke. Now notice he gives way to actions, to emotions, sentiment, demonstration. But that's not God. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of people saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after Hananiah the prophet broke the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Notice they're both prophets now. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah, the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. He's a good organization, brother. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the seventh month. 7 months to go, he was cut off. Now, I think you're all aware that Brother Branham had an experience a lot like that when he was in preaching the full gospel and businessmen. He prophesied that, I think it was Florence Shakarian, I think that's her name, would die, Demas' sister, and dying of cancer. And somebody got up after a very emotional time, sometime later, under tremendous fervor, prophesied that she would not die. And so the question up, well, Brother Branham, what about? His son said. He said, All I know is, he said, may she not die. May, if the words come to pass, she won't die. But all I know is that God told me she would. You watch. If when she does die, let us watch. She died. And Brother Branham said, What time was it? It was right around 2 o'clock, the very time he prophesied she would die. See? So you see those things. Now, we have a perfect picture then of two prophets who claimed thus saith the Lord, and we see here in perfection what Moses taught back in Deuteronomy 18. Now, I want us to be careful to note that this peculiar prophet is like Moses in Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 18, and this is taken from Exodus 20, 18 to 22. So let's just go back there now to Deuteronomy 18 again. And read what it says. Beginning at verse 15 this time. And the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise him up a prophet from among your brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. It will come to pass, whosoever shall not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded thee, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speak in the name of the Lord, if the thing fall not to come to pass, that's the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet spoke presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll see the history. 18 to 22. And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And Moses stood afar off, and the people drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt send the children of Israel. Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Now, you'll see here that Israel did not want to have God speak with them directly. They implored that God would use some other means, particularly a man like Moses. And so, therefore, God said, they well spoke when they spoken, and I will see that from now on, this will not occur again. They will not see the pillar of fire, and they will not hear my voice. But I will have my voice come to them through human instrumentality. That's exactly why Jesus had to become a man, or one of the reasons why he had to become a man, as that prophet in whom God, in whose mouth God put his words. And you'll notice that Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you. But he was a prophet. God put his words in his mouth, and any other prophet that will be a prophet of God outside of Jesus Christ must truly have thus saith the Lord. So, this kind of prophet we're talking about, Moses, here's the voice of God. As Brother Branham said, according to Deuteronomy 18, it takes a prophet like Moses to hear the voice of God. And you know, we have not had one of those since Paul until this time. And only at this time, or the very end time before Jesus returns for a bride, do we have such a prophet. And we find that, of course, over in Acts, the third chapter, the 19th verse, beginning in the middle of it. Right to verse 22. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's that any part of God or any part which can be seen in the eye. He shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly spake unto the Father, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up to you of your brethren like to me. Him you'll hear in all things what shall he say unto you. And it'll come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And you can see here at the end time, a prophet has to arise, and we know exactly who is going to bring restoration. It's according to Matthew 17:11. It has to be Elijah. There has to be a prophet at the end time, just before Jesus Christ comes, with the great miracle, signs, and wonder ministry, who is going to restore the word at this age, and he's going to say all that the prophets have said. So therefore, it's going to take a prophet. It's going to be Elijah. Now, let us note as kindly as possible that if any man other than a thus saith the Lord prophet says he has heard the audible voice of God, he is not telling a scriptural thing. Many people don't understand that. I'm not saying you cannot hear a voice, and that voice being of God or from God. I'm not saying that God cannot speak to people. What I'm saying is this, that a prophet of this caliber, anybody who hears the voice of Almighty God, absolutely would have to be this kind of a prophet. And I'm talking now literally when it comes God speaking face to face out of the pillar of fire. Now, he can excite your auditory nerve. He could have an angel speak to you. The Holy Spirit could impress you. But for someone like I'm standing here talking, it's absolutely impossible for anybody other than this kind of a prophet to hear this verbalizing. Because that prophet then can speak back to God, and God speaks back to him. There's a type of communication and oral intercourse there that where they speak back and forth that nobody else can possibly have. Yet there are people who say that they have heard the voice of God. I was under the misapprehension that one time myself back in 1939 because I was so sure that Hitler would not declare war. There would not be a war. I thought the Antichrist had to come and various things take place. And God, knowing my heart, gave me a vision. I was sitting bolt right up in bed in pure dark room. And there I saw the armies invading Poland. I saw the Stuka divers. I saw the cannons breaking. I saw the goose steppers. And a voice audibly cried loudly, Hitler will invade Poland.
Well, I thought that was the voice of God. That was erroneous. That was not the voice of God. My auditory nerve might have been stimulated. It might be an angel said something. But for God to audibly speak himself to me is an impossibility, because I am not that kind of a person. That we have people amongst us today who say they hear the voice of God. They're in great error. They may be sincere, but sincerity is not the answer. We don't want sincerity. We want infallibility, because our lives are depending on it. So remember what the prophet said, take it to heart. Now, in this our generation, we were visited by such a prophet we're speaking of. This prophet was William Marion Branham. And his indication that he was the end time Elijah of Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is proven by a manifested vindication. See, his indication is his vindication. He had thus said the Lord with unfailing results hundreds of times. And the ministry which I mentioned in Acts 3:19 set him forth to be exactly like Jesus in John 15:24, where you know the verse that says, if I had not done the works that none of the man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. The literal manifested eyeball presence of God is in the supernatural ministry, where the words of a man, thus saith the Lord, cannot possibly accomplish anything unless they are the words of God. Then those words accomplish which the words of no man can accomplish. And it's got to be God. And it was absolutely indicated by the thus saith the Lord vindication that this was a prophet like unto Moses and like unto Paul, regardless what any student may say. I don't care what anybody says. This is the Bible. And I think we're intelligent enough, as I told you many times. I was born in Canada. I never saw a cardinal, a beautiful red bird. But I did see it in the book. And I heard about it. And the minute I laid my eyeballs on the cardinal, I said, that's the cardinal. Yep. Now, you see, I should know. And I did know. I had no trouble. But if you don't know, you're stuck. Now, our son hasn't seen a bluebird for so many years, he forgot what a bluebird looks like. And my wife remembered too well either. So the other day, they were telling me that they saw a couple of bluebirds and some little babies nesting. And I said, good, I want to see this. And what it was a swallow. It was one of those swallows that had the kind of a red breast, and the toot in the very dark blue was too dark entirely, because he's got a kind of a fish tail on it, you know. And it's not the same as the bluebird. And there's an eastern bluebird and a western bluebird. I guess different kinds. But the bluebird we used to know back in Alberta, the same one down in Missouri, well, you know, if you just get a picture and know about them, you can spot a bird. Now, that's how a lot of people tell things. They go to the book. And if they got a modicum of sensibility, they can go from the book to what is out there. Therefore, if any man's the least bit spiritual, and there's something in the Bible concerning this kind of a prophet, the illustration is there, then if that prophet comes on the scene, you know that's that prophet. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. See? Doesn't matter at all. But of course, that doesn't always stand. You've got people who just simply will not do that. Now, the purpose of this message is really, from what we see here, this tremendous phenomenon that God has set forth in our generation, a prophet with us, saith the Lord. I want to say to you tonight a little bit, speak a little bit, about what thus saith the Lord means and what it really means to me. Basically, it stands all alone as the one irrefutable voice of God, and nothing in any way can compete with it. Now, that's a flat final statement that I believe is just as much the word of Almighty God as if William Branham stood here himself right here with a pillar of fire visible and said, thus saith the Lord, listen to this statement. I want to repeat. It stands all alone as the one, because God doesn't have two, irrefutable voice of God, and nothing in any way can compete with it. I said nothing can compete with it. Because the very tremendous ministry that attracts our attention is only the attractor to the honey and the rock. It's not the honey. It's the attraction to the honey. The miracle ministry of Brother Branham, which was his vindication. See? Which indicated me that. Showed that he was a prophet with a word message from God. So therefore, no matter what transpires, no matter. I want to lay it on. Because before this age is over, there could well be demonstration of such power as to shake person after person away from the Word of Almighty God. Now, it is exactly the Word. It is exactly the Word to which nothing can be added nor anything taken away. If preaching, teaching, or explaining can end up only as saying what has already been said, or it is not the Word of God as given by the prophet. True. Now, let's just consider, in a way, the strong statement. Why do I make the strong statement? Because of what is taking place. Too many in the bride, so-called, are looking for a Mount Carmel showdown when it is Mount Zion. Brother Branham in no place has said that you and I are going to have our own private Mount Carmel or our own private vindication. He says that Mount Carmel is finished. He said the next mountain is Mount Zion, which is the rapture. Unwittingly, there are those, unwittingly, but truly, they are competing with thus saith the Lord, because they're looking for a personal vindication of leadership, not realizing that to compete is to put the person into Deuteronomy 13. Let's take a look at it again. First five verses. If there rise among you a prophet, yes, sir, or a dreamer of dreams, even one who gives you a sign and a wonder, might even come right to your place and tell you something going to come to pass that will be just tremendous to you. And the sign or wonder come to pass wherever he speaks in you. Let us go after other gods, which you thou hast not known, or let us serve them. Like a man come by and tell you what's happening in the assembly over there, and maybe in Europe, hey? You got a woman who can prophesy. Might be a wife, hey? Well, let's nail it down. I want to know if we're spineless over here, we've got some grit and gut since the prophet left us. You want to challenge me? I'll take the challenge now. I'm ready for a fight. You won't, I know. I want to get you solid, brother, sister. I don't care what they prophesy. When that man said, Brother Branham makes fat errors. Huh? You want to go home now? Should we talk? I'm not kidding. You really believe this message? You believe thus saith the Lord, or are you just kidding? That man does not have thus saith the Lord nor his wife, nor does anybody else. Why don't you know? I don't care what signs or wonders are in this world, my brother, my sister, the signs and the wonders for vindication to set forth indication have transpired. This is the last message there is. There many are. And when you take a word or call a man, which is a prophet of God, of the caliber of William Branham, and say that man has made mistakes here and there in the doctrine, there's something wrong somewhere. Because let's face it, those errors were corrected. If those open seals were Christ himself, was their word. And you don't add or take from it. You see? Now, he's not the only one. I got a tape where a man says to a certain bunch of people, he said, who are you getting answered to prayers like I am? Now, he's in the bar. Maybe that man might pray for you. He may be dying of cancer, TB, malaria, who knows? Give you a mighty good sign and wonder. He's no authority. Another man is quoting what Brother Branham said. I wish I had written the quote down. There's one brother Bill used himself all the time. Where God raises the dead amongst us. He's using that for himself. He believes he's raised the dead twice on occasion. How do you know when the prophet said, the soul lingers when the spirit's gone? Old Slim Thistle, I heard himself, myself, we 30 years ago in Canada. Back in British Columbia. He was a criminal who died of tuberculosis in the penitentiary in the United States. They threw him in a room, and corpses were piled 3 and 4 deep upon him for 4 solid days. There was no pulse or anything else. He was dead, but he's living. Yeah. Oh, yeah, people want their own Mount Carmel. They want their own personal indication. Let me chatter to a sister. It might not mean this to you, but I'm invited here to preach, so I'm chatting what it means to me. There isn't anybody else. And there's not going to be anybody else. Not to the Gentiles anyway. Sure. We don't need any more vindication. Why should God vindicate when it's already vindicated? What the people need is a true revelation by the Holy Ghost of what has been spoken. Oh, need any more vindication here and there? There isn't any coming. I challenge any man to show me there's going to be his own personal Mount Carmel. See? Too many are adding their own ideas. They're leaving off what they don't want. You usually add that to it too. Deuteronomy 4. Let's take a look at it. Now don't think I got a personal fight in this thing. That's not personal to me at all. I'm the only man that wrote anything decent concerning Brother Branham, and that isn't much of a book either. But I wrote, know what I was writing about. This is concerning the ministry he had with Bethel Lord, not Lee Dale. And I'm not a personal champion, but I'll tell you, here's what I see here. Now, this fourth chapter, he said in verse 2, we can read 1 to 3 if you want, but it's all right. No, 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments, which I teach you, for to do them you may live, and go and possess the land which the Lord your God, your father, gave you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Look, there is no such thing as anything of God kept by faith or by action when one word has been changed. It has become absolutely dead. And the promise of Almighty God for this hour, of the resurrection and rapture and the millennium, is absolutely dead by adding one word or taking one word. Because he said, you've made void the promise of the word of God by your tradition. The promise of God has no right with one iota change. See? Not one bit. Now, he said, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. Now, if you look up in the Hebrew the way I did, you're going to find that, I believe, it's the best I can see here, that this refers, Baal Peor, refers to the female primary sex organ, which refers to fornication, which refers to what we're talking about, adding or taking from the Word of God is spiritual fornication. There's where your creeds and dogmas are. There's where your preachers are. Okay? They want something other than what the prophet gave. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, you well know what it says. That if you add a word, the plague's going to be added. How in the name can the word, can the plagues be added? Except you're right before the great tribulation. There's only one time when the plagues can be added, and that's just before the great tribulation. Then, there's one time when you can take from the word. And that sends you now, not just to the great tribulation, but sends you to the great white throne that says you're passed out of the book of life. Let's go back to Revelation then. We're looking at it. 22. And notice that this absolutely follows Revelation 10, 22 and 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is right there. When it's going to be too late. When everything crystallizes. When the kingdom of God is gelled and solidified. And Satan's kingdom is about to be rendered, be rent from it. The separation of chaff and wheat and so on. See? Now, of course, we know back in 10 and 4, it was closed. What the seven thunders uttered. But it says right back here, those seven thunders must come with the word. And Brother Branham said that those, I wish he had a quote here, it's in the seventh seal, I think it is. And it says absolutely categorically, if any man says he understands and knows those seven thunders, it's got to come thus saith the Lord. The prophet tells you flat, there isn't anybody going to bring those thunders except the prophet with thus saith the Lord, and he said it'll align with the rest of the word. And that's exactly right. It's going to have to be in here. Now remember, he said there are certain things a prophet will say that are not in the word. You'll believe them anyway. But when it came to the thunders, he said it's in the word. It'll align with the rest. Read your quote. I got it somewhere. I don't know if it's in the back of my Bible or not. I write a lot of things in a lot of Bibles. That's the trouble. I never bring the right Bible. I pick up the one that looks the best because all the rest are falling apart. No, I don't find, but I'll tell you one thing. There's only one man, God, thus saith the Lord. Because he said on page 5, 66, thus saith the Lord. But has there ever been one time ever told you anything in the name of the Lord? It wasn't right all these years. Nobody else could say so. Because I always told it just the way he told it. Only one man could do this. No other man could do it. But the way people talk these days, sounds like they got more of a wagon load than Brother Bill had. Now, too often, the preaching is not sermonizing on exactly what was said because of explanations of their own ideas. Many times the pew wants it this way. Not all the time, but there's times the pew wants it this way. For some feel that since Brother Branham brought the mysteries, brought the Word of God, in other words, he came between us and God, so now some man or men must become come now between Brother Branham's message and them. Now that's entirely fallacious. That's entirely wrong. There isn't anybody anywhere with any authority, and I regard no man as authority. Because he doesn't have it. Apostle, prophet, anything else. There is only one person, and that's a vindicated prophet who can take authority over any clergy or any ministry. Because if he does otherwise, then being a word-ordained prophet, he is nothing but Nicolaitan, a bishop. Nothing but a man with humanistic ideas. But when William Branham came, it was thus the Lord. It was Almighty God setting the whole church in order. Need someone to run around setting in orders, isn't that the other thing? Now, but some people want it that way. And some preachers want it that way. Let me tell you flat, there are no authorities. Today the world's divided up. Oh, this brother's pastor in America, and this brother's pastor in Europe, and this brother's over in New Zealand maybe, or Australia somewhere. Hogwash. It's nonsense. That's literally blasphemy against the Word of Almighty God. Since the prophet was here, God has ordained in his church a fivefold ministry, and the local pastor is the supreme authority in his area where God placed him, and he's ordained to carry it through. Not somebody else. Right. Now, the Joshua is the Holy Ghost. For since the prophet is gone, we have the Holy Ghost him alone. As I showed you in my little message, the Perugia, the presence of the Lord, it was the Holy Ghost come back identical. Now he hasn't left it. I just had a quote in that little blue book I got. I didn't write it down, underline. Where Brother Brown mentioned way back in 1950-something, his presence. And his presence is here leading us. See? And he will lead a five-fold ministry, that's true, to correctly preach this word and hold you to it. See? Because you're anointed God to do it. Brother Brown said the thing. Now let's go further. Thus saith the Lord, makes the prophet exactly Hebrews 1 and 1. Now we're going to take a look at why this man is the man he is. Hebrews 1 and 1. God with sundry times and divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophet. No, he spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophet. The fellow that was putting the little things in the middle here, Scofield and his guys, didn't have enough of the ball to put that word in instead of by. Because they don't like that. They don't want God in the prophet. They want him outside. All right. Thus the Lord makes the prophet exactly Hebrews 1 and 1, God incarnate. But how was he God incarnate? According to Hebrews 1 and 1. He was God incarnate in a limited way. What is the limited way? Revelation 1, 10 to 18. I was the Spirit of the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of trumpet, saying I'm not making so on. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice of faith with me. Conversational. The mouth to his ear, and he back. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. The church, the bride. Miss seven golden candlesticks. One like the Son of Man. One who says the same thing as the Son of Man. One carrying on as the Son of Man. Identical of what he was when he was on earth. No difference. The same one. Clothed the garment down his foot. Girded about the past golden girdle. His head and his hair like white wool. As white as snow. Eyes flame of fire. Feet like fine brass. They burn the furnace. Voice the sound of many waters. He held in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth and a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance as sun shines in his strength. When I saw him, I fell his feet as dead. And laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the key of hell and death. Now, here we find Jesus Christ himself. in the midst of the bride. And he's got in his hands seven stars. And out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. Now, let's just see that. How is he here in the church? And living, the church living by him. And he, that son of man, that prophet in the church. Okay, Revelation 2 and 1 and 7. Out of the message of the church which in Ephesus, right. These things that he that holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Notice verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that will come and give you the tree of life and so on. Now, you can see right here in verse 8 and 11 and 12 and 17 and 18 and 29 and down through the two chapters that it always starts out that you are to hear what the Spirit says. God is speaking. Jesus is speaking. And then it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Seven times, the Holy Spirit incarnates himself in seven men in order to bring the word. And two of those times, those men are prophets, Alpha and Omega, which would be Paul and the end time messenger. Now, these seven men, two of whom are prophets, like Moses was, are also seen in Revelation chapter 5:5-7. One of the elders said to me, weep not, behold the nine tribe of Judah, through to David, half prevailed. Go in the book. And loose the seven seals drum. And lo, and I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. That's the same one he saw in the midst of golden candlesticks. Because he can't change. I don't care what he looks like. He can't change. He's the same. So he with the seven stars, now it says he's got seven spirits. See? Seven horns. Seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. The slain lamb. Horn signifies power. See? And notice, he has seven eyes. That's the ability to see. Now, this one here has seven spirits. Now, you know, there aren't seven spirits in all the world because God's only got one spirit. What is it? As we read over here, under the angel, which is in the church of Ephesus, right? These things said he, that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. He that hath an ear, let him hear what he says to the churches. See? It is God himself incarnating himself by his word for that age, bringing forth the revelation of himself to the people so that he can be their redeemer. It is also for Revelation 1, 12 to 16, which you read to you over here. And also 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the messengers to the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. See? Now, what is that spirit exactly? It's over here in Zechariah 3, in verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I'll engrave the engraving of, said the Lord of hosts, and I'll remove the iniquity of the land in that one, in one day. Now you can apply that to us in a limited way here too. Well, it's not just, this could also go to Israel. But you see in here, God doing a work, and we have our Joshua here, before it was taken over, the engraving, the word of the Lord, given to us, in our hour of our need. Now, we can just read a little bit here. Beginning in verse chapter 4. And the angel talked with me, came to me and waked me as a man waking out of sleep. And he said, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked and behold a candlestick all of gold, a bowl on top of it, and seven lamps thereon, seven pipes to the seven lamps upon the top thereof, the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side, one upon the left side. Answered, spake the angel talked with me, saying, what are these, my lord? The angel that talked with me answered and said to me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And then he said, answered unto me, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace. Now right here at the end time, it tells you how the headstone is going to be brought forth. Brought forth by the Holy Spirit himself. But the Holy Spirit is not simply poured out upon people. That's been going on for 2,000 years. It's coming through an individual who at the end time will speak to the people. Because he hears from God. They cannot hear from God. So therefore he becomes the Holy Spirit to him. Now, as the seven messengers were loosed by Jesus to bring seven messages to seven ages. So at the end time, under the seventh seal, the counterpart of all those seven church ages, they were loosed to bring down the full revelation of Christ the Word to an end time bride. Now, I don't have the quotes on that, but there's two places at least. One is in the seal, and one is in the rapture tape. But Brother Borders got the words wrong. You'll find in there that Brother Branham was bringing out the fact that those seven messengers came down as the Holy Spirit, and each one had a message for the hour, for the age rather. And the seventh one meant more to him than anybody else, because he revealed no doubt what was under the seventh seal, because the seven church ages, not that they correspond to seven seals, but as there were seven church ages, seven messages, there were seven seals. And at the end time, the seven messengers brought down the revelation which would take place under that seventh seal. Now, of course, I believe that those messages that came down were the thunders. People can believe what they want. But I believe they were. Now, thus the prophet. Now, see, these seven messengers, they were loosed to bring down the full revelation of Christ the Word to an end time bride. Because that's what happened. Now, you'll know what had happened because Brother Branham said, speaking to Charlie Cox, he said, Charlie, would you notice, or people in this building notice, I wonder if you catch what's going on all this week. He said it was them seven angels, the seven messengers. They would be embodiment, as it were, of the Holy Spirit, bringing that word. And then you'll notice in that under the first seventh seal, had Brother Branham mentioned that, the seven messengers, under the first seal, he said, oh, what a mistake it would have made, but the Holy Spirit swept in the room. Make up your mind. Holy Spirit of seven messengers. What it was, as I understand the scripture here, both in heaven and on earth, God, in seven ages, had, as it were, counterparts. Here stood a mighty angel. Down here was Paul. Here stood a mighty angel. Down here is Irenaeus. And so on. Until the great mighty angel number seven. And here stood William Branham. Then at the end time, they all came down. See, in a form. And it was the Holy Spirit. See? Now, the power of God demonstrated in seven ages. What was it? It was bringing himself forth into redemption that men could be saved and come to full redemption through him. So at the end time, when redemption runs out, it's going to be a replay of the whole thing. It's got to be. Why? Because all in all, somehow God revealed the all in all of him. Now, how are you going to do that unless you got the whole Word of God? How are you going to have it unless the whole bride's standing here at one time? Can't have it. Can't have it any other way. That bride's got to stand here as that full Word of Almighty God. So here we see it. The prophet in the last age was God to the people as Paul was to the first age. Paul said, did the Word of God come out of you or did it come to you? See? Even as it was in Moses' day. Way back there in Exodus 4, 14 to 16. Let's look at it. And the anger of the Lord is kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brethren? I know he can speak well. Also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of the mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Then he said, take this rod, and do what I tell you to do. Thus to the Lord, and prove that this is so. So here it says right here categorically that the prophet with thus to the Lord is God to the people. Now, if that prophet is God to the people, where does that lead thus to the Lord? It leaves it absolutely incontrovertible as the one voice of Almighty God in this generation, and there isn't another. Therefore, anything outside this message cannot come to life. Anything added, anything taken, is the same thing. Right back in organization, right back in spiritual fornication, see? Now, this is a somber note for everyone to heed, whether it be preacher or whether it be the pew, makes no difference. See? That man absolutely becomes God to the people. This is not some boast or something that somebody wants to aggrandize himself. This is the truth. That the man becomes the voice of Almighty God. Now, let's go further. It's not only thus and so, he becomes God to the people, but thus saith the Lord is a tie post. It's the tie post of the cornerstone of 2 Peter 1, 15 to 21. Let's take a look at this. I'm going pretty fast, but I want to talk fast anyway. 15 to 21. Chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, chapter 1. Chapter 1 now. Okay. Seem to get these books mixed up. Can't seem to get number 2. Well, we got number 2 now finally. Now watch. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may live after my decease to have all these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed coming by favor when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. That's the presence of God in that mountain. But we saw his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice, him and glory. This is my beloved son, who I am well pleased. And this voice which came from him we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also more sure word of prophecy. When you do well, do you take heed. Thunder like the signs in a dark place. Until the day dawn. And the day dawn, the day star rising hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can see right here what Peter is telling us. He is telling us the power of the word of God that comes by a prophet. Now, with this, 1 Peter 2, 1 to 10. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy, and evil, and all evil speaking, as newborn days is ours, to share milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye taste the Lord as gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer of spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it's contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. Not just cornerstone, but head. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, or unto they were appointed. Now what I'm showing you here is that this word of God is the cornerstone, which becomes the headstone. The cornerstone is what we're talking about. Now, this message that Brother Branham gave us is a tie post. And the reason I say tie post is because the cornerstone tells you what it's all about. What is this building about? Look at the cornerstone. What's it directed to? What's it all about? What's its purpose? Why is it here? See? In other words, it answers the question. Now, the Apostle Peter tells us right here that this word of God is not by private interpretation. Man did not bring it to himself. No, sir. It came as men were windswept by the Holy Ghost. It is the word of God in the mouths of human beings, fallible men, like Moses, like David. See? Men who would qualify as sinners, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. But God entered those men by his Spirit. Because, as Brother Van said, the word descends by the prophet spirit. Not your spirit and not my spirit, by the prophet spirit. The word comes down. So therefore, God incarnated himself in that individual, in that living word. Now, this then, which word is the vindicated, true word of Almighty God, becomes the tie post. The cornerstone is our tie post, the revealed word of Almighty God. But in spite of it being a tie post to the messenger and the word, it has become a flying wedge dividing the people. Now, we have a tie post if people will only leave it as one. But they're not. I like what Brother Bob Brown said. He made a statement one night, we're talking on the phone. He said, Lee, there's that deity call. But he said, I've got to recognize this. That they are as identified with the prophet and his message as much as I am, whether I like it or not. Now, that's the right spirit. But that's not what people are doing. That the preacher's not doing it, the pulpit's not doing it. Now, let's get right down to nitty-gritty. I'm a preacher, so you folk mostly here in the pulpit. I mean, the pew right there. Well, there are some preachers in the pulpit and down the pews. But let's face it. Neither the preachers nor the people are content to leave it that way. They're not. There is a constant there's a constant segregation all the time. As Paul warned of drawing apart in Acts 20, so did William Branham also warn. But we are divided into many groups of schisms. But the true bride has her right spirit, and she understands that thus saith the Lord, brings them together, and that a true bride will always try to bring them back together. Now, it's a long time ago since a certain brother said, if you don't believe like me, he said, I can't fellowship you. I folded my Bible up. And the same fellow criticized me. But I didn't talk to him. Why should I? How could I should say, really? Because when I try to talk, there's never two sides to anything. There's nobody here. We just have two pair of eyes looking at one object, and maybe it takes the four eyes to see the whole object, but one fellow sits there and he'll swear that what he sees and what he sees alone is what the Word of God says. But we've got to come to that place, as Brother Branham had, and told us. He said, don't you be that way. And he said, if even somebody comes in amongst you, the devil sends an urge. He told us how to conduct ourselves so that we would stay together. See, not and not and not as men running around the world destroying each other's works. I tell you, I am not, well, how can I put it? There's certain feelings I don't want to have against anybody. But I will say from this pulpit, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I am incensed to know that a man from America went to Switzerland and tore up Francois Lepicard's work over this message. I'll just tell you, friend. I don't care if you're a pure pulpit. You do that in my books, you no more know this message, thus says the Lord, than nothing. I'll just tell you, friend. You don't. You may think you know, I may think I know, but we're wrong. I'll tell you why. Let's go to Matthew 23, 34 to 39 and find out. Then we'll know if we're on Bible grounds or whether the prophet said the truth. Now, therefore, behold, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. The prophets bring the word. The wise men can describe the word or sort of not embellish it, but they can explain it. And the scribe only talks it or writes it down. And some you shall kill and crucify. And some you'll scourge in synagogues and persecute city to city. Now, it says right there, anyone with the true word is going to have a tough time. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zachariah, son of Berechiah, whom you saw in the temple of the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things come upon this generation. Listen, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest those prophets, stones the scribes and the wise men, those that I send. How often would I have gathered thy children? And now he said, I was gathering. But how was he gathering? He was gathering by the prophet. Now, that's exactly Brother Branham's own word. And I showed you that the other day. Thessalonians, number 2 book, 2nd chapter, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our gathering together unto him. Brother Branham said that positively was the message. Now, then listen. If that's the message, then the message will keep us together. It won't scatter us. Now, then if the message has become a flying wedge, and we are being separated, there's got to be one of two reasons. Either that message is not being preached right, or it's got the wrong spirit. Plain and simple. Now, you look any way you want. But you see, I know what I'm talking about. I've been around all these years. And right off the bat it started. You believe this, or you're not bride. Who's to say who's bride? Who's to say who's bride? The scripture says that the foundation of God stands sure, the Lord knoweth them which are his. It doesn't say that you and I know it. That's the seal the scripture says is the seal. Who are the Lord's? The Lord only knows. But oh boy, how we put everybody in and put everybody up because they believe like we do. Or don't believe like us. Now I know. There is a certain sense of good fellowship when we are compatible in our thinking. But let me tell you flat. When that compatibility is only based upon you and I thinking alike. Then let me tell you what happens. I've seen it. I've seen men rise out of the pew and literally crucify a man of God and stand and tell lies and do every rotten trick in the book. And send their tithe somewhere else, even, and let the guy starve. And yet the man was the man that founded that work in that area and built up the prophet and brought people to God's word. But they have no compunction tearing apart the people, nor destroying the word. See? Now I told you, it's supposed to be a tie post to a cornerstone. And then the building gets built. When you make it a flying wedge, what happens? Comes a football game. Yeah. Notice how they'll grab the ball when somebody else has got it. Brother Branham warned about carrying the ball. But I've yet to see anybody carry this ball and this message, but someone's always anxious to grab the ball and run with it. Oh, he'll claim every work under heaven's his. He'll claim every authority, like I told you. A guy went down to a certain brother's church in Texas, and he said, you know what I did last night, but I dedicated you back to God, therefore there's great cause rejoicing. I said to that preacher, how come he dedicated your church back to God? Were you too sloppy? Couldn't you do it? What's going on anyway? See? Man interfering and pulling apart the fruit of somebody else is absolutely despicable. What did Brother Branham say? He said, oh, God, fill my church and empty it. Somebody else get the fruit. But now men want to grab the ball and take somebody else's fruit. Now, I repeat, that thus saith the Lord is Malachi 4, 5, and 6, brother, sister. Consolidates the bride, doesn't part George and Tyre pull her apart. You go back in history and all, you prove it yourself. The very thing that Paul warned, William Branham warned, but they're using the very thing to pull us together to destroy us. Why can't people leave well enough alone? Oh, how they'll dodge the very scripture you know, though, or the very quotes that you know. Oh, they'll dodge them, they got no answer. Brother, talking about the thunders. Oh, he had the thunders all figured out. That's very nice. I don't. So, a friend of mine phoned him. And he said, well, he said, brother, I understand you say so. See, yep, that's right. Well, he said, didn't Brother Bannon say in 1964, the Christian answer in August, they asked about the seven thunders. He said, that's what those seven seals are all about. What do you do that? He said, that was an off-the-cuff answer to some Pentecostal preachers. Now, I got to get that guy wherever he is, and I think you might know where he is. I've got to go to him to say what was off the cuff. Now, he's the only man who's going to know it. But you go to him, he's your eye. Oh, has he? Has splitting? I'm going to tell you something. If you feel your church has got it, and the rest don't, you ain't got it. You're not even near it. And you got no compassion. You're a hard-nosed pain in the neck. To yourself, to your neighbors, and Almighty God. Because you're so messed up, it's pitiful. Because you ain't got it. You couldn't have it, have a spirit like that. Because brotherly kindness, my brother, sister, is what we're supposed to have in this age, the Holy Spirit. And when this truth is tearing us up, and this message is bringing all the trash to the surface, that's exactly what Sister Shepherd's dream was. And that's exactly what the prophet said it was. And then the honey was poured in to hold it. I want to ask, where is the honey? Honey? I want to know. You can't, there's nobody going to say he's got the Holy Ghost honey while this is tearing on us going. Now I'm not doing my best, but hopefully I will eventually do my best to have what I'm talking about you. To get my spirit and brotherly kindness under control. So that I can say concerning the typos, I'm identified with every single person as my brother and my sister. And I don't care what they believe or how they believe it. Because there's going to be a rapture one day that's going to point out who is what and who isn't. See? And until that day, we better keep ourselves. And I didn't know until 2 years ago, taking bitter experience, to show me what I'm preaching you here tonight. Thus saith the Lord, my brother, sister, is the cornerstone tie post. But it's being used as a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, a flying wedge, a bludgeon against the people that say they believe this message. Now, who am I to tell you or you to tell me how to believe? This is one of the hardest verses to get across to anybody living. Let me show you what the real Holy Ghost does according to the book of Corinthians, the second chapter, the first book. Now it says in verse 9, I have not seen or heard, neither in the heart of man the things which God prepared for them. In other words, for the loving, this word, His word, and what's there. But God revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God searches in within Himself that word to bring it to our attention in the right season. For what man knows the things of man, the spirit of man's in him. Even the things of God knows no man the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It says right there, the Spirit of God has given you and me, we can know the things of God. Now, Paul says, which things we also speak, not in words as man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, it's got to stay within the framework of the Word. You don't jump from the Bible to the New York Times and the Philadelphia Inquirer or the U.S. World Report and News. You stay with the Word. Pardon me. But the natural man receives not the things of fear to God. They are foolish to him. Neither can he know them. The spirits are discerned. Now listen. But he that is spiritual, got the Holy Ghost, judges all things. Yet he himself is judged to no man. For who hath known the mind of the Spirit? Then he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Now what am I doing? I'd be up here preaching. You're sitting there listening to me. And somebody says in your heart, feels wrong. You've got every right to say it. And I can't look down and say, hey, what do you call me wrong for you? I'm right, you're wrong. Now, there's a certain fella, this woman went to, she's a Canadian, by the way. She lives out west of here. She went east in the United States to hear a man preach. As he's preaching, she said, hey, that doesn't ring a bell, something's wrong. She went home. The preacher went out there to his wife for a vacation. The woman was sick in bed, very sick. He walked in her room, and he laid her cold. He said, I saw that devil of unbelief in your face when I was preaching there in my church. And he told her she was sick because she had the devil of unbelief because of not listening to him. Now, let me tell you something, brother, sister. That's wrong. That's no more God than nothing. The scripture says right here that who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? It's the Holy Spirit dealing with you as I preach, whether it rings a bell or not. And if it doesn't ring a bell, I can't say, yes, I am right, you are wrong. Because I'm not anybody to tell the Holy Ghost how to deal with you. That's right, you bet it's right. But we better learn this and get this Spirit of God and come prompt real fast. Because where is it? You see? Now, then nobody can fly back at me and say, you're wrong. See? This doesn't get rid of the fivefold ministry. This puts the teaching power back in the hands of God where it belongs. And it says, as you sit there, you judge, you discern by what's in you. The Holy Ghost. Now, not by creeds and dogmas. Remember the first time I told you, Brother Branham preached on, he brought up that fact of the evidence of the Holy Ghost of believing the Word for the hour. And suddenly I just said, amen, that's it. I was happy, that settled it. Before I'd been all messed up on tongues, and then I wondered who's loving, wondered this and that, I'd about going crazy. And out of the blue sky, I said, that's it. Go down the road a little while here, say, hey, what'd you say that for? How come you said amen to that? And you believe it's just Saul is all get up. Caught it right now, and you enjoyed it. See? Like a boy said, why don't you search the Bible? It's full of it. I said, I'll do that. The Bible's full of it. Now someone said, they say, no, it's love. I know a man years later came by out of Johnny Lindsay's. He said, talking to one this man, he said, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is love. And Johnny said, sir, I beg to differ with you. Brother Branham said it was believing the word for the hour. The same man came back and told Ray Bingman, he said, look, he said, Brother Branham never did change it. It's love. The trouble is, he said, the people couldn't take it, so he gave them what they wanted. Oh, God. The same guy said to me, Brother Ben, I always did believe it was the word in the hour, but he said, you've got to have your own evidence. And that's love. That guy's got three corners of his mouth, not just two. Spit seeds out the middle. Like the guy, you know, you want to know. Spit seeds out both sides of the middle, eh? Big money's ears, maybe. What kind of nonsense is that? Listen, I'm telling you, brother, sister, what's happened in my life. I'm not here to regain you. I'm telling you the truth. What's actually happened in this message. The humbug and the hogwash going on. And for all I know, I may have a lot of it, too. But I'm going to declare to you now what the prophet said is thus the Lord is God's irrevocable word. And it's the title. And the best you and I could ever do at this moment is to honor and respect each other, no matter what that person believes. Last week almost had my stomach churned. If I weren't a stronger guy, I would have just been ready to walk out of the ministry. Well, I tell you, ain't nothing going to bother me. Because I've been through things where these guys ain't been dry behind the ears yet. I've been through them. I'm going to keep on plugging. And I'll be like Brother Brand said, if there's only the four pillars of the church, I'll preach the four pillars. I likely won't. I'll likely stay home by that time. But you better believe I'm not going to change my tune. It is the tie post of the cornerstone to bring us back to the capstone. And how are we going to have the capstone if we don't have the Spirit amongst us? Hey, everybody trying to pull out rocks and put their own in. Can't they just let it be? And the funny thing is, those who scream the loudest are saying exactly what the prophet said are the ones that twist it the most. I still stand on what I believe to be the truth. That Brother Branham categorically said, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Word. I want to be like the prophet. When the angel of God came in, seven of them came in, seven messages, every single time he beat right to the Bible and with a concordance yet. Didn't say, now, Lord, you were so good to tell me this lovely thing, and now I'll hold my hands here and you'll flip the Bible for me, Lord. And the page did not come in here. Whoop, he said a boo-boo, didn't he? Because God's not going to do it. And the man took his concordance. This is a castle like this, and the castle like this. Yes, here's some more, and over here's some more. Oh, he said, look at there. He said, you couldn't fail. It's right in the Bible. Of course, if you and I do that, we're supposed to be some kind of fools. Well, hallelujah, I'm a fool. Sorry about that. I never try to win a beauty contest, popularity contest, so let's face it, I'm not worried at all. Listen, thus saith the Lord is the final court of appeal of perfection. You say, why do you call it a final court? Because it's in a court where you resolve what is right. See? Now, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 13. I went too far, let me see. Love never fails. Whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, it'll vanish. We know in part and prophesy in part. When that which is fully come, then that which is in part should be done away. Now what's in part? The knowledge is in part. But at the end time, there's got to come the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of Him. Amen. That's going to take us right into the rapture. Where He becomes everything in the church and we become that fulfilled word. And that means under the seventh seal, we have to go plumb into new truth. And brother, sister, I can't see any way up. Thank God I can't. I don't want either. Now, when that which the fruit has come, that which part is done away. And Brother Bannon said, by the grace of God, we have the perfect revealed word of the hour. As a child, stood as a child, spake as a child, thought as a child. Came a man to put away childish things. Now we see through it vast darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And it says right here then, according to the word of God, at the end time, there's got to be such a revelation by the Holy Spirit of God's own word, we will know Jesus Christ and ourselves perfectly by that word of God revealed. Right. When the bride comes here, she's gone. We're in that very hour right now. See? Here we are. It is also Ephesians chapter 4. Prophet 16. Read it many times. You find some of the favorites. Put your perfect of saints. The word of the ministry. Edify the body of Christ. When? Until we all come to the faith. And of the even of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Notice that. It's the knowledge of the Son of God through the unity of the faith. Brother, sister, what could be stronger? A vindicated message? Thus said the Lord, what more do we want? Rally to the tie post, to the cornerstone. Stay with it. Never mind somebody else's throat. Stay with the word. Hang this stuff about worrying about people in the throat. Coming at them. That doesn't do a thing for anybody. Try to prove a man wrong so we can get in the corner. What if he proved everybody wrong? We're wrong ourselves. See? Come to that knowledge, Son of God. The perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, what that brings to you and me. The last one brought in. All the chosen, elected ones brought into the full stature. No more children. No more knowing in part. No more wondering. They're solid in here. No tossing to and fro until man can't swing you. Listen, we're pretty green yet because men can swing about anybody. See? But speaking the truth in love, grubbing him in all things. Notice that all things is always what I'm trying to tell you. It's that whole word of God into physical manifestation in a bride. where that word becomes flesh and flesh becomes word and word becomes word, right back to God. Yeah. Where he came from, see? And from whom the whole body. Then somebody says, you're not part of the body. Who's to say? Yeah, who's to say? Every joint supplying, according to the effects are working, in the measure of every part. And down here at the end, the effectual measure is the very resurrection of Jesus Christ amongst us. When you get there, you're finished. When you listen, brother, sister, if you and I make that resurrection, there's no turning around, ifs, ands, or buts. You don't need to worry. I'm talking about the other resurrection, this last half of the first resurrection, see? Now, Hebrews 6 and 1. Same thing. Leaving everything behind. There's only one thing to worry about. Perfection. And at the end time and perfection, what is it? The once for all enlightenment. Accompanied by manifestation, signs and wonders on both sides. The good and the bad have it. But we know better. So we stay with that word. Because that word's going to see us through. See? Now, put it all together. Unto 2 Peter 1, 1 to 7. Two, grace and peace multiply you to the knowledge of God and even our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world of lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temper, patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, charity, love. There you are. Coming right up to the very top, to seven ages, an end time bride, with all these virtues abounding, so that she is not unfruitful, but the very word of God is taken through her. See? Now we're coming to the capstone. This is the capstone, see? And as God's capstone, the pyramid, it brings us identifying ourselves with 1 Corinthians 13, which we were back a minute ago. When that which is perfect comes. Now, 13 verse. Now abides faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest is love. Notice, faith is revelation. Faith, hope is expectation. And love is realization. We're right here, brother, sister. Under faith. The proven, manifested faith of Almighty God. Now, under earnest expectation, we're waiting for realization. And it's coming at this very hour. See? That's thus said the Lord. How could it be otherwise? How could it be otherwise? There isn't any other way you and I could get here. There has got to be some kind of indication, indicating we have either arrived, or we are arriving, or there's something that must yet come to cause us to arrive. But we have arrived to the place where we have the Word of God. Yes, see? As Brother Brown said, the Word for this hour. And he also said the bride has all she needs to put in her rapture. Now, that's thus of the Lord. What else is thus of the Lord? This is Brother Branham said in the rapture tape. When you see God come from heaven, stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself, just as ever he did. In other words, the way he always did it, which was by the pillar of fire and a man. Except the one time when the pillar of fire was no longer the pillar of fire. In other words, God's Spirit didn't have to put on a veil of fire so someone could see it. God himself stepped into Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Now, God came down. God stood there. We saw him. We partook of him. Thus saith the Lord, ends it all and brings us to completion and the final polishing of the program of Almighty God. Who can add or take away? For God has spoken, as it says in Amos, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. Oh, how Brother Branham fooled him. He'd mumble sometimes. I mean, his servant. Well, he tells you his servants the prophets. But all the people like that. Oh, that's nice, but he's no prophet, you see. So I'm just as good as he is. And thus saith the Lord. Come on. Brother, sister, this is the end of things. This is the finality. You can't add or take from it. You don't dare fool with it. The thing to do is accept it at face value and don't figure it. That's what's wrong. Brother Branham warned there. But it's just figuring. See? Don't figure, don't explain. The only time you and I can explain is when it's plumb right out here in front of us where Brother Branham said, just preach that, break it down to the people. See? Now, he'll review the sermon of the prophet. The lion, now, we know that he's got a roar, hasn't he? Over there in Revelation 10, has roared by the prophet. Who will not then fear? That's Deuteronomy 18:21. Fear that man. The Lord God, not the prophet, now, has spoken. 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1 and 21. Holy men of God speak as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Not the holy man speaking, but God. And when God has spoken, who can but prophesy? See? Now what is it? It's not God getting in that prophet's tongue like a machine or grammar record. It's God talking to him and him bringing that word right back and not missing one iota, those huge in a pidgin English or a Kentucky jargon or some kind of a Chinese language even. It wouldn't matter. That man will never add a word, nor will he take one word. You know, people get so mixed up. They think, my goodness, if that was God speaking, Brother Man would say, now, all men just right, you know. And he said, we was. He said, we were. And he said, you, and never said, y'all. He just said, you all, if he even said that. Listen, isn't the Holy Ghost putting a gramophone in that man's tongue? I'm not saying that couldn't happen. But it's God speaking to that man, and that man speaking back to us, even in his own vernacular, but infallibly. See? Right. But it's God's word in the man. As he explained, he was the only one who could tell it as it was. And then he could turn around and put it in the same words, and not the same words, but different words with the same meaning many times over. Because it was always the same. It never changed, see? Now, the prophet said, in doing God a service, we know that quote, paraphrasing, the lie to this hour is not a man, it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it comes by a prophet, it's God. Now, what is thus said the Lord? It is reality, true reality, because you didn't know what was real before. At least you know that this is real what he preached. It is what God wanted across. Whether you and I get it or not. Whether we understand it or not. Brother Branham said this whole thing starts with thus the prophet, with thus said the Lord. If it starts with it, it ends with it. And I predict tonight. I'm predicting, I'm not prophesying. This will be veiled. I believe before the rapture takes place, there's going to be a church that stands up and says, listen, I might not know what he said, but I believe what he said. I might not understand it to tell you, but I know he said the truth. And whether I understand what he said, I know this, that he understood what he said, and that's what God wanted. And whether I know it or not, I know that's right, and I'll stand there and die for that. You know why I believe that? Because the people are so mixed up, that's why. 1,500 guys with 1,500 opinions. No wonder Billy Paul said, if I let preachers preach, I'll have 50 guys with 50 opinions. And he wasn't right in doing that. He's not any boss, but he had the right idea. In this respect, there's going to come a day, I believe, pretty soon, which I tell you, we've just about gone full circle. I don't say we have. But myself, I've just about gone full circle to say this one thing. Look, there's just one thing I know. I'm sorry, I can't quote you, I can't outquote you, I can't match your quotes, I can't do one thing. I can't take them out. There's one thing I know. I know I don't believe you, and I don't believe me, but I believe him. I don't even know what he said, but I know he was that man. Just stand and say, no, God, do the rest. It may have to come that simple. If you're not satisfied, let's face it. He said, that washroom with three tapes will make it where the guy of the whole library won't. So you better all do like me. Start looking for an apron, a wash tub, and a scrub board. Start taking washing. I'm serious, though. I make a joke out of it. Because I'm not convinced that the fellow's going to repeat this message backwards has the same idea the prophet had. I challenged a man not long ago who tried to take me to the cleaners. I said, brother, I'm going to ask you one question. Before the church age book came out, would you have known that the baptism with the Holy Ghost and rebirth is one and the same thing according to what the prophet taught? He said, no. I said, that's what I stand on right today. It took me 4.5 hours of fussing, fuming, and dying and killing myself inside to wonder, my God, what is this man saying anyway? Now, I know you sit here. You know what I'm talking about. You ain't got the least idea because you weren't through it. But for 4.5 hours, not believing after hearing all he said, having talked other times. But he was saying in that hour that baptism with the Holy Ghost and the rebirth is one and the same thing. And I said, you aren't saying that. He said, but I am. Now you got it. I said, hold her right there. Now who's going to come along? Who's going to come along? See, I got all the answers. Because I'm going to tell you flat. And I ain't nobody, but let's get this right down. If Lee Bale or someone like him had not written that book, you'd be sitting here right tonight, every 99% still thinking that they were two different things. Kind of rough to think that, isn't it? But I don't believe you to figure it. Not that you're dumber than I am. You're smarter. That's the whole trouble. You're smarter, you're harder to see it. But be honest. See? I ain't nobody. Just get that flat. No authority. But I know this one thing. That you can think you are hearing exactly right, and you're hearing according to your own teaching that you received way back there. You know who I'd follow if I wanted to follow somebody? I'd like to find some dyed-in-the-wool, harum-scarum, no-good bird that was baptized in a church and that day never went back. Come to this message, receive the Holy Ghost, and just read what the prophet said. You know what? I believe he'd be right on. Because he has no background. I had too much background. I learned years ago when Brother Branham talked, it was a heavenly language, not yours and mine, that was fundamentally inclined. His wasn't. And many times he'd have to use a fundamental language to get the people coming his way. When that theology came, though, it ripped right across. They couldn't see it. That's why you've got people thinking he's God on one hand, and another group who can't see how he was God. Brother told me some time ago, heard me preach. He said, Lee, I never understood what you said until just this year. And I've been preaching how God has been in a man for roughly 10 years. Never changed. Now listen, none of us is anybody, not for 1 minute. But I want to say this is true reality. Thus said the Lord is true reality. What is really, truly the word of Almighty God in this hour, what God wants. What God has done, what He's going to do, what He expects, what He wants from me and you, the whole thing was laid out here and vindicated to be the real word of Almighty God. Not what somebody hashed out of this, but what God Himself brought out. Therefore, let's be very, very simple in our attitudes and our mind. Listen. It's water to the thirsty. It's food for the hungry. It's proof to the agnostic or the atheist. It's sight to the blind. It's clothes to the naked. It is all in all come down to bring to completion the purpose and plan of God. It is the seventh seal that unseals what Daniel sealed up and puts back in motion what God would have to destroy were it not put back in proper keel like this earth is off a keel. But God sent a man to put the word back on keel. Amen. So that his promises would come through. Now let me tell you, brother, sister, if that's the truth, and I know it's the truth, then the word that Brother Branham taught is a whole lot different from even what you and I believed, no matter how close we believed or thought we believed with the prophet before the seals. Right? There's not one of us that didn't need correction. Because the prophet himself was correct. Like every prophet is. Joseph went through it. Jacob went through it. Abraham went through it. Isaac went through it. Every prophet's always been corrected because never was one perfect. Only one, Jesus Christ. All had to learn. God had to step in and say, no, you got that part wrong. In the end time, so you and I would not add or take a word, God sent a man down to say, no, I'm going to tell you now. You just believe what he said. Don't try to figure it. He said, the harder you try, the further you'll miss it. And he said, the time you think you've got it, that's the time you don't. There's nobody got all the answers. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. The higher any man gets up here, the harder you're going to fall when you get shot down. Get down here. Get down by the altar. I think we need more altar calls. Not for sinners to come in, but the high and mighty bride to come in. She got a little bit too high. She got a little bit too far, I believe, from seeing him who was unveiled before. Now, I'm going to quit, but I could go on and on. Because it's the full assurance of faith. It's the Holy Ghost loose. God come down to prove himself. To show the way to enter the marriage supper. All of these things are here with us of the Lord. Brother, let me tell you flat. I don't know. But what thus saith the Lord, is this life in here come to life, manifested, demonstrated, proving what lies just ahead of which we're now in, to put us right over there and right to New Jersey. Because if we believe the prophet of God vindicated, we're going to prosper. We're going to make it. But if we're so busy proving that we're that special in the corner and we got it, and we're so clicky and we're so clanny, that spirit of brother love is not amongst us. Brother, sister, let me tell you, I'm going to say, Brother Branham, there's still a bride out there somewhere. And if we're not that bride, we better be careful that we don't get in her way. We don't stand in the way. But if there's anything I'm calling tonight for, it's humility. To get away from thinking high and lofty thoughts. To think we're some mouthpiece for the prophet. For some special anointed person to explain what the prophet said. Although that's an element in there, there's no doubt about it. Let's understand we are. We are witnesses unto God's truth of this hour. And there'll be 100 interpretations of it. But every one of those 100 could be seeing something real. That's one thing I've learned. They could be seeing something real. Long before anybody understand how Brother Branham was God to the people, a deity group rose up and said, he is God. They saw something. On the day of judgment, it'll be more tolerable if they're judged on the day of judgment. Because they saw something where millions saw nothing. And they weren't as blind as those that were blind. Their self-conceit did not blind them. They just got carried away. You say, Brother Bill, could they be part of the bride? Who's to say they're not? Who's to say they couldn't be? We're not going to be like some brother preaching, have compassion, pluck him his branch the burning, and meaning we're going to have to be sorry for those guys that don't believe like us. Now look, I'm not sorry for anybody that doesn't believe like me. Why should I be? He could be right, I could be wrong. What if we were both right? Both looking at two aspects. What if we're both saying the same thing in our own words? What if we can't express ourselves, but that faith down there is real? The real faith. Who's to say? But you see why I say, what thus the Lord means to me? Brother, sister, I don't want to take it away from anybody. But I wonder if people really see what thus saith the Lord really is. I look at myself, and I say, do you really know? I say, no. I don't. I've got so far, but I'm still a long way from it. Because if I really saw it, I'd have that same spirit of sincerity and sobriety and humility that's on the prophet. Not, perhaps, in the same quantity, but in the same quality, to a degree, see. Thus saith the Lord. That man said one day, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. Another preacher, he said, if I tell you, I'm a hypocrite. And I said, hold it, you know what he's doing to you? He's selling you a bill of goods. Now, if he and I tell a lie, it can be an honest mistake. But Brother Branham, if he told a lie, he is a hypocrite. Because he can go to God and get an answer and then come back and tell us the truth or not. So because a prophet said a thing, you and I don't say it and apply it to ourselves. If I tell you a lie, I'm either just a plain liar, or I didn't mean to. See? But only a prophet who can get to God, knowing he can get there, if an answer's available, get an answer, and come on back. See, no, that's different. That man would be hypocrite. See? So thus saith the Lord to me, brother, sister, is a foundation stone that all these years, whatever years I believe this message and whatever's led to it, I have never been able to get away from that, thus saith the Lord. Just like I could never get away from that as baptized with the Holy Ghost, real or unreal. I'm not going to say I've got reality. I believe I have. By God's grace, I have. I wouldn't want to say it wasn't, and it was. But I can't prove anything. But I had a tie post way, way back there. And that night I received, next morning, the Bible was a new book. It came together the best it could without a prophet. See? That's part of the evidence. When thus saith the Lord came, I knew that when God answered back to a man, that had to be right or forget it. Now people say, look, if you don't believe my way, you're not dedicated. Oh, but I am. Oh, but I am. I don't have to believe like you, but I'm dedicated. See? So is everyone who hath any honest intent, be he misguided, be he even deceived by the enemy. That man saw something there, see? Now, when are we going to then give way to where you as my brother, I as your brother, all of us? So look, I'm a part. We're part of each other. Ready? So the Lord bless you. I trust it hasn't been too rough on you. I know you didn't believe some of the things I said in that. Don't worry. I just want to see if I can get a rise out of you. It's all right. But also, I got something else in mind. How do I know that someone might come around the corner sometime and do what they try to do in a dream? And they said, come around the corner. You have what we have. I said, I ain't going around no corner. But I don't want what you got. But if you get fortified and begin to see the strength of thus saith the Lord, what it really means, you're going to calm right down this spirit of yours. You're going to have a brotherly, kindly outreach. You may talk to anybody. He won't upset you. You say, now, brother, sister, that's real sweet. I appreciate it. But if I don't see him, I just don't see him. That doesn't make me right and you wrong or vice versa. Because all I've got in here is discerning and telling me, just need that be. Now, what he's told you to pick up, I can't say let go. Because if something is talking to me in here and I believe it's God, and something in you is talking, you and you believe it's God, who's going to settle? Who has God talking to? See, that's what I told you in Corinthians there. You can't do it. How am I to tell God, look, you talk to that person, he'll believe like me? How is that person going to say, now God, you talk to Dale, he'll believe like me? We're not here to instruct God. God instructs us. See? Who is to say I've been taught of God? I'll tell you who I believe is. The man that gets his spirit down here that I'm talking about, where Brother Bannon told us. And I haven't arrived there yet. I haven't got there yet. But I've learned a lot in 2 years. Well, I've learned an awful lot less than I should have learned. But I've learned a lot more than I did yet. Follow me? That's thus saith the Lord. No other voice. No other person. Go back to the message. The Lord bless you, shall we rise. Our kind Heavenly Father, in this hour of our appreciation of you sending a messenger of this caliber to prove that thou art the God of the Bible who has talked to us, vindicating yourself by indication, even as you did on Mount Carmel there when Elijah said, let the God who answers by fire be God. And we know, Lord, tonight we stand in that very position. The word has come to us, and there is no doubt. But Father, I believe as in the days of Paul when he said you knew all this, and now hereafter such a little while I stand in doubt concerning you what has happened. Father, I know that it's quite possible that you yourself, if you were here, or the prophet were here, could well say the same thing concerning us, because we have in a way removed ourselves from the simplicity that lies in what has been demonstrated in this our day, the revealed word of Almighty God, and you, Lord, manifesting yourself amongst us. Heavenly Father, I would pray for all of us, because I suppose in some measure we have all been very guilty, and I myself perhaps far more guilty than most people, taking such a strong stand as to exclude others. Heavenly Father, humble me now tonight. Everyone in this building, Lord, with spirit of grace upon us and humility, to no longer put anybody outside. But may our arms, Lord, like the prophet, draw a circle to draw all men in. Help us, O God. Even those, Lord, that have become offensive in many ways. And you, Lord, I've talked about that tonight, Lord. Just almost angry concerning men who grab the ball from others, run into other men's work as though it were theirs, as though they got a special commission. Perhaps they have, Lord, and I'm not aware of it. But help me, Lord, to just simmer right down and know that these things got to be, if you're in them, Lord, to see all things are of God, everything's of you, with a pure heart. Lord, help me tonight to just bear and forbear to walk all the way. If men want to ride over my head, Lord, may they just do it, because we know that's part of the game of life that you put us into. If they wish to do these things, Lord, may we not retaliate. But may we, Lord, with real love and understanding, come now to this place, O God, growing up into thee, speaking the truth in love.
Yes.
Not just speaking the truth, Lord, but in love, in Christ. Grant it, Lord, that we might be like that prophet who came down to his end time with such a spirit of God upon him, such a spirit of grace.
Yes.
Father, that's what we're looking forward to. And I believe, Lord, by your word and by the fact you deal with our spirits, the deep calling to deep, that this is what is in the very near future. So, Father, we thank you. Help us now to just stay with that tie post and use it as a tie post. Anchor deep each one of us. And with the same spirit, help to anchor each other. Until, Lord God, we must come back. The bride must be one. Because it is one, it will be one. Lord, if we don't meet here, may we meet on the other side. I pray, Lord, keep the dear people here. Keep them, Lord, by your word, by your Holy Spirit. Grant, my God, boldness and yet humility at the same time in their lives, that they might pursue, Lord, the life that you set before them until you say, come up here, higher, it is time to release.
Yes.
Lord, we ask all things. Bless our families. Bring in our loved ones, we pray, so many outside the ark of saving. Some families so blessed, O God, not that we envy them. We rejoice with them that many are in the fold already. But Lord, with some of us are in the unfortunate position to have none of them come in yet. Heavenly Father, I pray that they will come in.
Yes,
they will be a part, Lord, of the great body of Jesus Christ, the great Jew.
Yes.
Oh, my God, may those that we love, may not one of them ever blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Though there may be doubts, there may be a lack of knowledge, may there not be one word against that which has been vindicated.
Yes.
Give them strength, Lord, and grace and sense to keep the lips closed, the mouth sealed, the mind away from engaging in those things that they have no part in as though they were judges. Lord God, I pray for them as we pray for ourselves. So, Father, here we are. Go with us. Be with us. Guide us in all things until we come together, as we said, kneel at Jesus' feet, who is altogether lovely.
Yes.
Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord bless you. Let's sing, as we always sing, or I would like to sing, as Brother Branham taught us, take the name of Jesus with you, because what he is in that name.